You're at work radio every day, 9 to 12, only on KC 107.7.
Ja, kers aan met my, Michelle, hier by KC at work. Dis is 10:34 en ek het jou gesê, jy moet nêrens gaan nie, want ek het nou baie belangrike gas nou op die lyn saam met my. Ek gesels vanoggend met Frida Kamfer, sy is van die Department of Labour. Good morning, Frida, how are you doing?
I'm good in yourself, Michelle.
Very, very good. It's an honor to talk with you this morning. So I have a few questions that I'm going to ask you for the listeners out there. The first question I want to ask you is, tell us more about the public employment services at the Department of Employment and Labour.
Okay. So I've been in this unit at the Department of Employment and Labour for the last 23-24 years, and we basically we are a unit that brings work seekers and the employers together, and we introduce various opportunities to them, and the employers also make use of our services to recruit, to do selection and recruitment for them. We have registered career counselors, and we have for myself as a development specialist, and we have employment practitioners that specializes in the development of people. So whether it's in the labor market or whether it is in further education, because as we know, in order to place a person into a job opportunity, there will be skills required and certain qualifications required. So we also have earning opportunities, whether it's formal or informal, or just skills training or higher education. We have we assist them with that in order to be placed into an opportunity that is what we call decent work.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a range of public employment services, but it's more a specialized unit, I would say, at the Department of Employment and Labour.
And then you are conducting an early intervention project for school leavers. Tell us more about the employment and the academic support from the professionals.
Yes, sure. We started this project like an early intervention team. We got a few professionals together, and we established this early intervention team, which is a group of experts in various fields. So it would be our career counselors, of course, and we also employ psychologists. And then we got a special clinical psychologist. We have a family advocate. We have a lawyer. We have social workers. We have educational specialists and so on. Anybody that can fill the gap in terms of any obstacle that was identified for school leavers to access academia or higher education. So Department of Higher Education, the head office in Pretoria, and the Western Cape Education Department, they also work with us. And then we have a social cohesion group that meets regularly in every 2 weeks in Bontville or Delft. And this group of professionals and stakeholders are a bit bigger, and they have different specialization areas. However, the early intervention team is the team that actually goes out to schools, and based on the invitation from education department and from the school principals, of course. But then in addition, we also have community outreaches, where NGOs and non-governmental organizations invite us to their communities, and we provide an early intervention service. So mostly it is for the matriculants. For example, if they matric this year,
yeah,
we go to the school and we do a session with them. And we introduce them to various opportunities, including the bursary scheme. So what we've done is we've studied the social policy in terms of that whether the bursary scheme is developed from. We studied those social policies, and we basically do a session with them in terms of how to access those bursaries. So in a while, the social policies has developed quite tremendously to make it easier for learners that can't afford to study further, to make it easier for them to access the system. So we walk this journey with them in order to We make sure that we make resources available to them so that they can use those resources to apply for the bursary and to apply to any learning institute. So we basically take the resources with us to them. And then our professionals will do the career counseling. They will do the career assessment. If there's any obstacles in terms of, you know, where we don't get cooperation from parents, where they need to sign forms and anything like that, we've got specialists that deals with that. We also rely on our principals to attest to the learner's circumstances, and also we rely on the social workers also to do that. So any learner that is already in the database, like with social development or SASA, they will get funded immediately. So we make sure they have access to those funds. And then we obviously do the career assessment, and that takes a little bit of time. So there's a lot of follow-up and aftercare that needs to be done on that. But eventually we do get them into a learning institute, and eventually they do also know what it is that they want to study.
Yeah.
So for those who don't want to go study further, there's obviously the job opportunities, there's learnerships, there's internships, there's and there's skills development opportunities. We work with network partners and NGOs that provide the skills training for free for the learners, because most of them may get funded already by social development. So obviously they recruit these learners to come and develop a skill for free. So either way, there's always an exit strategy for them, but it's all about learning and growing. It doesn't matter in which discipline you are or which environment you are, the idea is that they learn and grow, because if they learn, they can't lose. They can't fail if they learn.
And Frida, what was the impact since the implementation of this project?
Well, we basically started in COVID, because then we learned about the fact that our youth don't have access to any resources then with lockdown and everything, mm-hmm. and we reached out to them, and we arranged venues under strict conditions for them to come and access our services and access the bursary fund, access academia and those kind of things. The idea then started there to actually go out, because we always assume that people have data, their phones, their
phones,
to actually do these things, and we realize that they, under lockdown, they really have nothing.
Yeah.
And so we made ourselves available. And from there, after COVID, we decided to continue with this, but more intensively and more, even more, with structure, more structure involved. And but so far, we have done since 2021, we have done at least over 200 outreaches. It could be 250 to 300. This year alone, we did at least 50 outreaches. That we went to schools, we went to communities, we work with stakeholders, we work with structures that's in the community, that knows the community. They invite us, and we go in there, and we do what we need to do. So, since 2020, we have at least over 1,000 learners that who never really thought about go studying further, that actually did go study further, and they are some of them are finished, and some of them have actually given us feedback, because now the idea is for us to match them with available job opportunities.
Yes.
Should they find themselves unemployed, because you know, as graduates fresh from the school bench or fresh from university or college, they may not have experience, so we need to link them up and match them up. So we already have their profile on our database, and then from there we match them with available opportunities where they fit the criteria. So we've never really done with them, even if they graduate. We're not done with them.
We
help them then to get into a suitable job opportunity. We reached at least over 4,000 people.
Sure.
But like I said, only about over 1,000 people has gone. We assisted, we applied on their behalf, and we also had them admitted to a learning institute. The reason why I say those that why I exclude, there are those that applied on their own with our assistance. We are talking about those that never intended to go study now.
Mm.
Because we have to focus on the most vulnerable people.
Yeah.
So you will get those that rely on us, but they have resources. They rely on us and professional services, yes, but they have resources. They have access to resources. So we still assist them. But these over 1,000 people that we are talking about now are people that have nothing. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. They didn't even think about studying further.
Sure.
They had no intention to study further. For them, it was just, I'm going to finish school.
Yeah, and then what further? Happened.
They had no aspirations. They had no goals. They had nothing. So I'm talking about those people that actually
yes.
we started that journey and we said no, but there needs to be an exit strategy.
Yeah.
So those, there's about over 1,000 people that's studying now. And then we also have those that are working now or they did computer training. And the free computer training we do with young people at work. And young people at work actually owns this project because they get funded by Department of Social Development to ensure that more and more people participate in this project. So there are those that just decide, we're just going to do computer training and maybe my mom and my dad will help me get a job or whatever.
Yeah.
But we make sure there's a safety net for them, that whenever they change their mind, we are there. There is a safety net for them. So those are like, we place at least 50 a month in
yeah.
those training programs. And that includes also learnerships and internships and so on. There is hospitality training. There is in barista as cooks, sewing, all of those kind of things. To be honest with you, it could be more than 100. I'm just saying 50 because normally I just see 50 coming through, 50 coming through, and mm-hmm. then they 50 placed for the month, and we take them through that process again. So that could be over, say, 2,000, 3,000 people. It could be more. The organization could have more, but for us on our record, 2,000 to 3,000 people already. So, yeah, that is the early intervention. There must be an exit strategy for any learner that leaves school. And if they're unemployed and they've already left school, then obviously we've got more work to do. And that is where we call in the career counselor and we call in the social worker and we call in anybody that can provide a professional service in terms of the assessment that was done of that person.
Frida, I also want to ask you, what role does the community organizations and other stakeholders play? So how does the community and the families respond to this intervention?
It's just wonderful how people get to come together.
Yeah.
I must say, this is quite, for this year, I must say, what I've seen is the churches, the religious leaders coming forward. And they have organized over 60% of our community outreaches. So it's different churches that ask us to come to the community, not to their church,
yeah.
to the community. And they arrange the venue and the nice people, and we come there and we do our thing. That was quite amazing. And then obviously we have community organizations such as the community shelters, in Heidefeld, we've got youth organizations, plenty of youth organizations that invited us out, and we go there. And obviously, the wonderful corporations from the principals and Western Cape Education Department, where we go there and we do our thing. And I think one of the things that stand out from our early intervention group is because we are structured, besides the fact that we are professionals, we went through the same processes and also applied for bursaries and all of that when we were studying, but also that we are vetted by the National Security Agency and we get, we must disclose every year. So there's a sense of safety and security and those kind of things that's important to our community. So that they can know, they can trust us, we built a trust relationship with them, and more stakeholders, because of this trust relationship, more and more stakeholders are coming. They, at the last 3 months, we had so many requests that we couldn't accommodate everybody, because at least a week before the closing date of the bursary and before the closing date of the schools, we must stop, because we must do follow up, and we must provide aftercare while the school is still open, while the children is still at school,
yeah.
or while the bursary fund is still open. We need to do follow up. We need to connect the dots and the loose ends, tie up the loose ends, and those kind of things. But unfortunately, we couldn't accommodate all the requests that we had. But we did work up to the last week. We actually went out to some of the places like the Doorns. We went to Malmesbury. We went to Grabouw and those places. So we had to accommodate them because they were identified as the most vulnerable communities. And we said, okay, let us go. This weekend we worked late night till 12 o'clock in that night to tie up those loose ends, to make sure that everybody is alive.
Frida, yes. I have a last question for you. Briefly outline for me the aftercare services and how can the candidates or the organizations contact you should anyone wish to participate or make use of your services.
Okay, they can contact me on my email address. It's Frida, Freda, camphor, camphor, at labour.gov.za. And the aftercare service is mostly we make sure that you maintain the accounts in terms of for the bursary and access to the university or college. We assist you with that to maintain that status and to also exit in terms of finishing the course or finishing the qualification. And then we match your profile with existing opportunities, whether it's learning opportunities or further skills training, and we refer you to the employer or the opportunity provider and for placement. And then there's ongoing aftercare services regarding all sorts of intervention, advocacy, information services. We invite you to various debates and advocacy sessions that we have, and we cover burning issues in terms of the labour market and those kind of things. But it's an ongoing journey, and a candidate can be referred to more than one specialist, you know. But we need to work with all the specialists in that sense.
Frida, it was a great honor to have you on the line this morning and all that information that you shared. So if I have any questions from the listeners, then I will refer them back to you. But have a great day. Have a great Christmas with your family and prosperous 2025 for you.
Thank you, Michelle, and thanks so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Daar was Frida Kamfer, baie inligting gegee van die Department of Labour oor studies en studente en hoe hulle die pad stap met die studente. So jy kan sy al die inligting gegee. As jy verder navraag wil hoor, kan jy ook vir my boodskap stuur en ek sal vir jou al die besonderhede aanstuur. Die nommer in die ateljee 082414-1077.
Casey at work on Casey 107.7.